Hacker Public Radio. I'm Jonathan Nato. I am one of the many co-hosts for this episode. We are currently in Cambridge, Massachusetts. It's 2013 and it is March 17th. That means that NELF has just ended and we're here to talk about it. We have Pokey.
Hello.
We have Cody Cooper.
Hello.
Russ Winner.
Hello.
The Bruce Patterson.
Hola.
Steve McLaughlin, the door-to-door geek.
Hey, hey.
And we also have Little Pokey, Jacob.
Actually, he liked Mad Dog an awful lot.
Yeah.
He wants to be Bad Wolf.
Bad Wolf. Bad Wolf. That's official now. It's going to be in the ether, so Bad Wolf it is.
All I got to say is you guys eventually have to have your own 80s buddy cop drama. Mad Dog and Bad Wolf.
I think if he's my son, it's my responsibility to teach him things, and this is the gentlest way that I can teach him that nothing can be erased from the internet.
There you
That's right.
So I guess I'll start off and get the conversation going. Me, myself, I thought overall it was a great success. There were a little issues in the background that no one was really aware of, but everything went well. There's a great turnout. The sponsors were happy, which was a good thing. A lot of great talks. We had Ted Cho from he maintains the EXT4 filing system. We had John Mad Dog Hall. We had John Sullivan, the executive director from the FSF. We had Matt Lee, formerly of the FSF. We had Thomas Gideon. We had lots of people. You missed a lot of great talks. But Bruce has 4 DVDs in his hand, not at this very moment, but within the next 24 to 36 hours, there will be some audio already up. That's right. So. I guess we'll kind of go around the horn. Cody, what were some of the things you've taken away from NELF?
Oh, wow. So much. First of all, the hospitality as far as everybody involved with the fest has been great. I will say that any hiccups, much like Jonathan addressed, that did happen were corrected immediately. Mostly, I would say, on the part of Bruce Patterson's calm demeanor.
Yes.
It's like he had a magic button in his pocket, and he just clicked it, and everything was fine again. So that was good. The food, the beer, all the beer has been...
The beer we're partaking in right now.
Yeah. Thanks to Russ Winter, brought some home brew. Yeah. Thank you very much, Russ.
I don't think we mentioned it's St. Patrick's Day, right?
It is St. Patrick's Day.
Yes, so there we're drinking on. Some stout and... Guinness tradition?
To Russ.
To Russ.
Here.
Right.
Thank you very much.
Little Pokey. How do you like the...
You have your soda.
Bad wolf.
He's a bad wolf. He's drinking soda.
Now don't open it.
Yes, for the record, we are not contributing to the delinquency of a minor.
Right now. Yeah, actually, we are. We're just not giving him any alcohol.
So you got anything else, Cody? Or
I'll have more to contribute later, but I gotta say, I want to thank you to all the fans that actually came up and talked to me at the fest.
All one of you?
No, there were quite a few, and it's always very good to meet the people that listen to our shows. And I requested that if you were at the fest to come up and talk to me, and I gotta say, I had at least 10 to 15 people. So thank you for not only supporting the fest, but helping me put a name to the face as far as who is benefiting from the content that we put out there. It was a big, big honor.
Hey, Russ, how about you? Your first NELF, Harvard University, how was everything for you?
Oh, it was awesome. I came in Friday night, had a great time here, and then Saturday, I think, it was your first time at Harvard University, so there were some hiccups, but overall, I think things went pretty smoothly. The lineup, those speakers were great. Like Cody mentioned, listeners coming up to say hi was just awesome experience. I really enjoyed talking to Mary from Google. I gave her heck about Google Reader. I think a lot of people did. Guy from HP and Red Hat Fedora, they were great. And some of the talks I sat in, I sat in Oracle My SQL talk that was really good. As you mentioned, Ted So's talk on EXT4 file system. Caught part of Klaatu's talk. It was really good. This town is great.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It was overall a great experience. I'm sure I'll chime in a few more times before this episode's over.
One little tidbit I like to throw in about HP. I was talking to them today, and I thought this was really cool. And one thing I never even knew, they offer HPCloud.com, which is like their version of Amazon, which I never knew existed. But apparently, they do a lot of development with OpenStack and stay very, very close to the source code, and they make everything available that they run HPCloud.com with is freely available to download and implement yourself. They're the third highest contributor to OpenStack, so I thought that was pretty cool.
Well, I would say I'm happy to hear you say the word cloud twice.
Yeah, there you go. And you know I've had enough beers now.
I thought you had to say cloudy if you were going to say cloud.
But actually, one thing I want to throw in about HP as well, one of the great things is they sent us laptops for the event.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah. And more importantly, one of the great things about it is I installed Fedora 18 on all of them. And it's funny because for whatever, all of the bad fallout we've heard about Fedora 18 in general, had no issue with this. More importantly, though, we've heard about issues with machines that had Windows on it running into the UEFI issue. Not at all a problem.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. From start to finish, wasn't bothered once by any of this. And I got the Fedora install in under maybe 20 minutes.
It's really heartening.
Well, yes.
Kudos to HP. I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah. They were fantastic supporters.
Were the laptops loners, or does the
unfortunately, I think they were loners. So yeah. At first, I was like, they didn't say anything about us sending them back to them. But then I looked closer in the subject line, and it said, like, loan, and there was a bunch of numbers. I was like, oh man.
Yeah. What I liked about HP, I got to chime in on your stuff. I don't mean to interrupt you.
No.
About HP, they had a Blade server just hanging out there, and they had it all pulled out for everybody to look at. And I'll tell you, when that guy went into the talks to go watch the talks and left the booth unmanned, mm-hmm. all those little half terabyte SATA drives in that thing, everybody looked at them like it was a candy dish.
Yeah, I felt bad for them because their shipping department clearly wasn't on the same page they were, because half of the server display showed up. The other half is actually in a locked office.
It's being held hostage.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. And I'll say, I helped with those HPs, getting them set up.
Mm-hmm.
If people out there has not touched and felt business class HP products, this is nothing like the stuff you see in Best Buy.
Like the $500 jobs.
Right. Yeah.
This was an extremely solid laptop.
Yeah.
Very durable, it felt like.
Yeah.
And I was amazed at how smooth everything booted up and quick.
Oh, yes. Fast.
And one of them turns out, it wasn't plugged in for over 3 hours. It was recording the talk.
Yeah.
And I went to like close everything and shut it down. And I said to the guy, "Can you please unplug this?" He said, "It ain't plugged in."
Oh.
Oh, that's good battery you got here.
Yeah, those were the HP Elite Books, which are their enterprise level laptops. And yep. I was speaking to the rep about it, and whether this is true or not, I had no reason to doubt him. But he said he actually purchased them for his own family. And because the first time I held it, I was setting up Mumble on one of them, and I just kind of took a couple minutes for myself, closed it, like held it, looked at it, and kind of, you know, tested out the keys, and it reminded me of some mid and high level like Lenovo builds.
Yeah.
This is something, you know, very, very solid. I've spoken about it before, like you could use a ThinkPad to like beat a cougar to death.
Mm-hmm. Not that we endorse that.
No. In self defense.
Not a ThinkPad Edge.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, no.
It's a great laptop, but don't go swinging it.
No.
Well, and his tip was to not buy them new, buy them refurbished from HP.
Because they have quite a few deals on them all.
Very good deals, he said.
Yes. Yeah. But yeah, it changed my perception of build quality for HP for sure.
Yeah. Bruce, do you have anything you want
to... Yeah, you weren't nearly done. We were up to the HP.
Oh, no. Wait, Bruce, were you even at the event?
the biggest disappointment for me about this event was that Paris Hilton didn't show up.
Yeah, right? You get her up on Google+.
And she had made a comment the other day about, you know, "Do you like my puppy?" And I responded, "I would love it if you'd show up to the Northeast Linux Fest."
Nice.
Actually, you hit up Kobe Bryant, too.
I hit up everybody. You know, Regis and Kathy, although it's not them anymore. But anyway, no, actually, it's funny. We actually reached out to a lot of folks this year. I would still like to have seen a lot more local folks at the event. I mean, that's... That's usually one of the tough things. And this is actually what I spoke to Mary from Google about as well, because you know, they run a lot of events, and that, you know, the toughest sell is getting kids. And I think that that's really, and we're talking about anything from junior high up on even college level, because the idea of this is that we want to show people there's more than just simply Windows and Macs. I mean, you know, these kids have grown up in homes with around electronics, but I'm curious how many of them actually realize that Linux is a really good choice. So, you know, we'll just keep hammering at it until we come up with the magic answer.
Speaking of missing elements, I spent the first night crying in my hotel room because the LAMP party did not come to fruition.
That was a last minute, like, that literally the week before, they're like, yeah, we're not going to come, we can't make it. And I was like, oop. So we'll, I think we're going to look into definitely doing it next year, but we might try and find, you know, people within this area to actually count on and do it.
Right.
So I that's high up on the list to get that done.
Now, in terms of some of the speakers that we had, this may have been actually some of the best lineup I've seen. And
yeah, we had Matthew Garrett. He talked about Secure Boot. We had Wendy Seltzer talking about, you know, copyright issues. Okay. Again, John Sullivan from the FSF, Mad Dog. I mean,
well, actually, the key speak at the talk I'm going to actually try and push out first was actually the one by Andrew Lumen of the Tor Project.
Oh, yeah.
That was because, awesome. I caught that too.
Yes. I mean, I heard about 5-10 minutes of it as I was just testing the audio for it. It's going to be a fantastic talk.
Well, I think it would be hard to edit all those FLAC files.
Were you going to say, Pokey?
Well, I was just going to say, if I could jump in here and talk about the speakers, I only heard one talk, and actually in 3 Northeast Linux Fests, I've only heard one talk. So this is the first one I've been to a talk. So as far as the talks go, I only know what people told me who attended the talks or people who gave the talks. And the people who attended the talks all loved them, and the one that I went to, I loved. And Bad Wolf went and saw Klaatu's talk with me. What did you think of Klaatu's talk?
I thought Klaatu's talk was really good. It was on Git. I didn't really, like, pay attention to most of it.
Well,
there's a reason for that. Because my mom was texting me about a project that I had to do, and I already had it settled out when I was going to do it. So, I don't know. I just didn't pay attention to most of it.
Well, give me your number. I'll call.
Yeah, we'll take care of that. Yeah.
We sat together, and I took every opportunity as he was going through. Klaatu doesn't do slides. Mm-hmm. He does. I wish I remember the name of the
live presentation.
Yeah, he does a live presentation. He's using his desktop. He's flipping desktops around, doing graphics and everything. And when he's on the command line doing commands, I was able to explain to Jacob, okay, that's CP, that's the copy command, that part tells it where it's coming from, that part tells it where it's going. Okay, now he's done the MV command, that's move, but it also changes the name. And this. So he didn't get nothing out of it, he did get something.
Wait, Klaatu doesn't do slides? Why didn't somebody tell me not to look at the screen?
We were trying to point where you were ignoring us so rudely. So that talk was great, but everybody seemed to love all the talks. But when I talked to some of the presenters, as much fun as they had here and with the people, they all seemed to be under the impression that a little more could have been done to have gotten their bios correct. To have contacted them ahead of time. Oh. And a lot of the people were talking about, you know, having the description of the talks in one pamphlet and the schedule in another, but without the subject title, just the name. That seemed to create some real problems, some real confusion with people. So I think it's something that if we're going to have such great speakers and expect them to come back, that's what they said needed to be worked on in order to treat them right.
Yeah.
I got an email in November asking for my bio, and I saw it went to at least 20 people.
Yeah.
And I quickly responded with all the requested information.
Yeah. And that's actually the most important thing that has to be made right up front. Dor was maybe the only person that actually responded.
No.
Because we got a lot of folks who waited very last moment to
get all of that information.
I think there was communication in both directions.
Yeah.
Needs a little work. And I think
and I don't mean this in a bad way. I mean it in a good way. That this is the conference's third year.
Yep.
And it's a good problem to have when you outgrow the volunteers that you had. So I talked to a lot of people, and a lot of people feel it's they everybody I talked to had the same two thoughts. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's time for a committee. Yes, I want in on it. So we have a lot of people who said they want to help out and want to be a committee.
Yep.
And I already got John. I cornered him. I cornered John Hall. He agreed to chair the Wisdom Committee.
Nice.
To be somewhat of an advisor and to help out. And he gave us some pointers that don't need to be gone over now, but he gave me some pointers that I felt were worth writing down. So that was my take of the speaker end of it.
Well, Pokey, you are the NELF veteran. This is your third one. So compared to the last two, how would you think this one would be?
The venue sucked. I thought that the people were great. They get greater every year.
Oh yeah.
The being at the table, you know, for Akron Public Radio, you guys let us do this. It's 3 years in a row. You haven't charged us.
No. No.
And it's so. And so we thank you for that. We thank you for letting us, you know, not pay. Though we would. But you know, you guys.
Let me take that note. Hand.
Yeah, I got it. You got. I put it in your hand. Don't be being like that. It's great being part of Northeast Linux Fest. It's for me personally. It's as much fun as being part of Akron Public Radio. So bringing the two together is terrific fun.
Definitely.
I liked doing the interviews up in the hallway, Ken Fallon style. It was a blast. Yeah. NY Bill was I was basically his puppy. I had the microphone, was the collar, and his computer was the leash because he was I was chasing interviews.
Yeah, he had a notebook. He was walking with his notebook, right? He was recording onto that. Is that what you guys were doing?
He was running because he was trying to keep up with me. I was so excited to talk to everybody. We chased Mad Dog Hall from one end of the building to the other before we caught up with him because we were trying to fight through the crowd.
Yeah.
And it was just so much fun. Bill was so much fun. I mean, meeting everybody was fun.
Yeah.
You know, all the podcasts and people. And I thought that the conference continues to get better every year. The venue, I'm not a particular fan of the venue. I didn't think that the school offered anything more than the other school. And in some respects, I thought it was less. And I just think I personally think it's time for more volunteers. That's all.
Okay.
You know, double up on tasks so that you know, all these things that slipped last minute, you know, we need two people on those things so that if it slips, we got somebody else. This idea has been synced between the two of us so that person can drop out because I know everything they knew. The hit by a bus contingency plan.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. It's a real good problem to have that the conference has grown into that. I mean, the first year, Jonathan, you put the conference on with...
actually, it was Mike. Solo.
The first year was kind of solo. I mean, it shouldn't have gone as well as it did the first year.
Right.
It gave me too much confidence, you know?
Yep.
Because, I mean, we only did a half day. There was four, maybe five speakers.
Yep.
I mean, I was doing the This Week in Fedora podcast, so I called some people within Red Hat and said, hey, I'm thinking of doing this half-day event. Would you mind sponsoring? They sponsored. That them, just the one sponsor, covered everything I needed.
Yep.
And it just, boom, 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 everything lined up, and it just went so easy. I was like, that's not hard.
Yep.
You know? But, you know, and then going from last year from a full-day one track.
Well, I'll also say year two, you didn't change anything.
Right.
So it was perfect. It worked just as it was
right. But yeah, all we did was just make the day longer.
Yep.
But yeah, and we extended the track, but it still is the same kind of thing. But this year, four tracks, you know, we had Door to Door Geek giving his classes. We had, you know, a few other classes going on. Open Database was doing their own thing. And so it was exponentially more work. And we found, Bruce and I found it quickly, you know, like the last 2 to 3 weeks were like, yeah, this might not be good these next few weeks because a lot of stuff started piling on.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, we made it through it. It still was a great success, I think. There's no utter failures. We all moved through and everyone, you know, all the sponsors and speakers were still, you know, working with us and just moving forward. So it went well.
Yeah, you know, it did go well. I don't mean to give that impression.
Yeah, no.
I think it's a positive thing
that
the conference has outgrown two guys running everything.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, really, one guy, Bruce Patterson, is by far the man. Like, you wouldn't even know he was at the event. This guy was running around doing so much stuff, going up and downstairs, trying to take care of stuff. Didn't you go to Micro Center to buy someone a power adapter? Like, dude, you're the man. Like, someone, I would have been like, no, we don't have one, and I can't get you one. Like, you know, you should have brought it yourself. No. But Bruce is like, I'm gonna go to Micro Center and get you one. Like, just stuff like that. So, really, if any time someone sees Bruce Patterson, you owe him a beer or something, a dinner. He did.
Thank you, Bruce.
A ton of work. So,
thank you very much.
To Bruce.
Yes.
Cheers. I can also follow that up with, I personally saw Jonathan sit down and do a whole lot of nothing.
Yeah.
he personally told me he was afraid that the single chair was going to float away. And then he had to hold it down.
But in Jonathan's defense, when the lights went out, he saved the day.
That's right. So speaking of the Door Geek, Door, how were your classes? How did that go? Did you think it was a...
Considering, once again, I was totally unprepared. Completely.
No, I want to ask this more important question. Those people that were from the work release program.
Thanks, Bruce. I wanted to forget about that. Well, first of all, I was literally unprepared. I wanted to finish preparation on the bus trip up. It was a 9-hour bus trip. Didn't have enough physical room to do it. Their Wi-Fi was pointless to connect to.
Oh, yeah.
It was slower than dial-up speeds. So I got there, I got in my room, and I noticed there's no projector or recorder. And I'm like, that's okay, I don't mind. And then Bruce comes in and says, you don't have a projector. No, that's okay. But I can, no, don't really, don't give me a projector. Because people will be dissatisfied by what they see on the screen. So, due to the fact I was unprepared, I think it actually went really good. I tried to be as interactive as possible. I literally wanted people to steer what they wanted to hear. So I let them basically suggest things.
Mm-hmm.
I had overarching goals, but I let them suggest things, and it went really well. I learned, apparently, some people who like a broadcasting network from the Northwest also like marijuana. This was totally unbeknownst to me, but apparently they are. I had a couple people in the class that knew of me from podcast, and they were really nice the whole time, supporting the whole time. One guy, John, he is really new to Lennox, but he is like powering through learning.
Oh, yeah.
And he asked some fantastic questions.
Yeah. I love those guys, but I stand in amazement of them.
Yeah. They have such passion.
John McCarthy.
Oh, yeah, John McCarthy. Yeah.
He's super nice.
He was the man, too, during the event on Saturday, too. He helped out a ton.
Yeah, and as far as the folks from the work release program, we behaved ourselves quite well.
And I was supposed to give 5 classes. Because initially there was a little bit of a delay, I did not want to override the opening keynote, a.k.a. Jonathan. So I purposely waited till Jonathan was done and another 15 minutes before I got started. So I took what was supposed to be 5 talks and I crammed it down to 3. I combined here a little here. I have a recorder. I have the audio done. I had good interaction, but I always wanted to share more, talk more. So I'm going to, on the record, do some follow-up screencast audio stuff, and I'm going to, of course, submit what I can to HPR.
Did you let the folks in the conference know to look for that?
Yeah, multiple times.
Cool.
Multiple times.
Cool.
The one thing I got to say I really liked about this fest was I got to meet Bruce Patterson. I got to meet Pokey. I got to meet Bad Wolf.
Yeah.
I got to, once again, shake hands with Cody Cooper, Russ Winters, Jonathan, countless other people. I'm going to stop now because I will forget people.
You met John Sullivan from the FSF?
First time, John Sullivan, tall fellow.
Oh, yeah.
Quite tall.
Matt Lee.
Ruben from Trust.
Oh, yeah, Ruben Rodriguez.
Ruben is cool.
Yes. I love Ruben. He's
That's
such
all I
have
to say.
Yeah.
I literally want to like take out a loan and to so I can help Ruben become more whatever, better at whatever he does. I want to help publicize what he does because he's a really smart, nice guy.
Yeah, yeah.
I got to meet Thomas Command Line.
Yes.
Oh yeah, that was cool.
Klaatu.
Gort.
We saw Gort.
Well, I know, but Klaatu, I almost didn't recognize him. His hair was almost normal color. I'm just sitting there walking, I look to the side, and that guy kind of looked, that's Klaatu.
Three pieces.
He looked the same to me.
Well, yeah, did he?
I only got to really sit in on a couple talks. I gotta say, Ted from Google.
Yeah, Ted Chow.
Dude, who can think at his level?
Yeah.
That guy is beyond genius.
And the way he nonchalantly talked about file systems, everyone in the world knows, understands exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah, right. You have a set number of inodes that everybody knows.
Duh.
That means limitations.
But he's a wicked smart guy, but really down to earth.
Yeah.
Super nice. I walked up and shook his hand. I was like, you know, thanks so much for, you know, giving us your time and coming down. This guy literally was like gone for the weekend. He's like, I just got back into town a few hours ago, and then he came to give the talk at the event. Like, that's just cool. Like, a guy with his, you know, whatever you want to say, his
clout.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He took the time to just come on down, talk for an hour, you know.
Who was who said the line at lunch, when you can say, well, Samsung should have contacted me before they started this.
He's talking about Samsung doing their new file system for Android, and he's like, Samsung should have got a hold of me first before they started doing that. That's when you know your stuff.
To rewind on Ted a little bit, before we even knew who he was, he came up to the table and was just talking with us for at least a couple minutes. And then he asked where the certain hall was, and he goes, yeah, I'm supposed to give a talk at noon. And then that's when it all clicked, and then we found out who he was. They immediately ushered him over to Jonathan.
Right.
So, yeah, it was a very, very, very nice guy.
Yeah, and I'll say, to me, the best thing about NELF is it felt like I literally had the time to sit down and meet everybody.
Yes.
Yep.
That, to me, is
fantastic.
That
was very cool.
And I'll say, I've only been to one other fest, OLF. And at OLF, it seems like the people and the professionals kind of blend in together, and it's really hard to tell who you're talking to for a couple seconds. With NELF, I knew who the company people were, but they were normal people, most of them too, so I actually enjoy talking to them. You know, the guy from OpenStack, he's sitting back with his soccer shirt on, talking normal about stuff. You know, I thought that was great, and they had some of the best swag, I'm sorry. The OpenShift bottle opener USB key.
Oh,
genius.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that was Arista Networks. That was Arista Networks that has that.
No, it
ain't. I know.
It's OpenShift.
Oh, okay.
And Pokey, I got two. You can have it.
Sweet.
I literally purposely went up to talk to him just to grab a second.
It's a topic I've been meaning to bring up on some podcast at some point. It's, you know, What physical format do you prefer your USB keys? But I think you just answered the
question.
And for the record, Russ Winter was holding his, and he goes, I'm going to use this all the time and to store data on it.
I will say the one thing about the settings, the university, I really, really liked was we were literally in lecture halls, some of us, to where the speakers did not have to talk loud, and people literally 50 feet away could easily hear.
Yes.
It was really, really great acoustics.
Yes, yes.
No, I got two things to say about that.
Oh.
Yes, it was awesome that people could be in the hall speaking at almost a normal speaking voice and be heard through this giant hall. The room was designed correctly, and it was done right. And after seeing Klaatu's talk, that's really my only regret of the conference, is not giving the talk that I could have given, because one of the things I was really afraid of is that my voice wouldn't fill the room.
Oh, dude, you would have been booming in London.
Well, because I just, for people who are listening to the podcast don't know, I just had a sinus surgery, and I didn't think I could raise my voice enough. You probably hear it sound a little funny. And that was my regret, is I think it would have been really fun to give my talk in a room like that.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I will say about, on the other hand, this is one of the reasons why I wasn't real impressed with the venue. I've been in a couple of other Harvard lecture halls before, and they could have given us a more impressive room. They could have, you know, they've got some rooms there with some real history to them.
Gotcha.
And you sit in them, you go, oh, these are the halls of knowledge. Now I get it. Yeah. That's not the feeling I got in their science building. Right. I'm sorry.
I'll say the best thing about the building was there was a Winnie the Pooh tree outside.
There you go.
That was cool. Yeah.
But when we went and visited the tree, someone had already kicked the door in.
Was the tree with the shingles on.
Okay. As an act of generosity, they also left a pair of Skull Candy headphones on.
Really ugly ones.
They look like pink and purple ladybugs or something.
Right. And I'll say one of the best surprises of the fest to me was discovering John Harvard's Tavern.
Oh, yeah.
With the Double Deuce Barley Wine.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll say the biggest, to me, disappointment of this fest, I could not have Tracy Holt sit next to me and describe what this beverage actually was.
I don't think he could have. Yeah.
I just know it was fantastic.
Normally, I don't drink barley wine, but I had to order it simply because of the Roadhouse reference.
And I have to apologize here because I turned my ringer off on my cell phone when I went into Klaatu's talk, and I didn't turn it back on. And had it been on, I would have heard you guys calling me and had you there, because Thomas Command Line Gideon could have told you everything about every beer.
He did tell us
everything about every beer in that restaurant. Told us the true difference between stouts and porters.
Well, bring him back next year.
He said he'll definitely be back.
What a great guy.
Yeah.
And people who have seen me at other fests might have heard me say this, but I'm saying it again. This is a really clean city. I'm from the Baltimore area. I'm used to the scummy underworld where everything is
You think it's a clean city?
But compared to Baltimore, I think it's sparkly.
New York.
I think it beats the hell out of New York.
Uh-huh.
But it's no D.C. You know, it's no... the nicer parts of D.C. beat the hell out of this.
Oh, yeah.
It's no Kansas City.
I'll say D.C. is everything. They have horrible, disgusting parts where you really need to wear like metal underwear because you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But they do have clean seats. There's the money part.
Well, he was totally talking about himself. Right. He wasn't talking about the people there.
Is that why per capita they have more chastity belts?
Yes. Well, and I'll say this, even though I don't think he'll ever listen to this. It was a pleasure to meet Joe.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Barnacle Joe.
I don't think I met him.
This is a short,
he's just a really nice guy. He tried to hang with us last night, and I will repeat one line from last night, and that is, it takes a man to have a good time, and I think he was a little young, but he definitely tried to have a good time.
Nice. But we were just walking around after the fest last night, and this guy just followed us. And we were like having a conversation with him on the way. We figured he was walking like his hotel, but no, he just like stayed with us the whole night. And Russ and I and Jonathan were standing away from door took him to do something real quick, and so Russ wanted to nickname him Tag Along Joe. And I said we should name him Barnacle Joe because all of a sudden he's on the hull of our ship and we don't know where the hell it came from.
Nice.
But he ended up being an indispensable part of our crew. Door treated him. Door was a gentleman. He was feeling under the weather. Gave him a place to stay.
Well, I knew he was going to be horrible the next day.
Yeah.
You know, and I didn't want him to lay on the floor, wake up, and feel horrible and stiff and sore.
Yeah.
So for all the horrible emails we get to links to the rest of us saying how much of a humanitarian Door is not. I mostly agree, but after witnessing that act of kindness, I have to be on his side just a little bit.
Oh, actually, and one other thing too. A big thanks to Dor for helping us out earlier in crunch time yesterday.
Yeah, everyone in the room actually helped out a ton. Greatly appreciated.
It was fun. I'm sorry. I like crunch time and getting things done.
Yeah, well, we didn't like that kind of
thing. No,
but I can kind of relate. I like putting things off till the last minute.
They don't call him Pokey for nothing.
Absolutely. Now, one thing I wanted to mention, I was sitting here thinking, I think I've seen John Mad Dog Hall 7 times, and I never get tired of listening to his
talk.
His talk at this event was epic. It was really, really good.
Yeah, and
he talked for like about an hour and 40 minutes, I believe.
Yeah, so like an hour and a half, something like that, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, and the centerpiece of his talk at the end was a Raspberry Pi-based solution for San...
Palo.
Yeah, San Palo.
And for Latin America.
The Cala project.
Well, it's not...
Project Cala.
See, I talked to him about this, and this will have already aired on HPR by the time the listeners are hearing this, so it's okay. I talked to him about this yesterday on HPR, and this idea of his is not for Sao Paulo and for South America. These are just the pilot programs to show everybody else how it works.
How it can be successful.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
He's putting them in, or he's attempting to put them, he's doing this in the places where it's most likely to be successful first, but these are pilot programs. These are to show people
that it can be done.
How to do it, yes. That it can be done. And I want to make sure that Bad Wolf gets a chance to talk here, because he spent quite a bit of time with Mad Dog.
All right.
So what did you think of Mad Dog?
I liked Mad Dog. He was cool. He's telling me about like how everybody thought the first computer was in like the 60s, but it was actually in the 40s. I forget what the place was called. But
Bletchley Park?
Yeah, Bletchley Park. Yeah. And I was astonished how 30,000 people could actually just hold a secret like that for like 20 years.
Mm.
Actually it was 30 years, because they didn't release it until the 70s. Mad Dog is pretty cool. I like him a lot.
Yeah, his best trait to me is, besides being just a genuinely nice guy, he has the uncanny ability to understand very complex things, but to describe them in such a way everybody can understand what he's talking about.
Yeah.
And he has no ego whatsoever. He will talk to anyone who will talk to him.
What I like, he's a good storyteller, is what he is.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
He can tell a story. He may tell you something you already know.
Mm-hmm.
But I like
you to hear it. You want to hear his version.
He tells it better than anyone else ever told it.
Yeah.
I listened to him.
I heard him say 7 times that same joke about when he was at Drexel, and for $5 you could buy
a text
editor or two.
Get 10 pictures of beer.
And he holds his belly and says, "You can see which direction I went." But it's funny every time. He just, you just could sit and listen to him talk on and on. Much wisdom, so much experience.
Well, and I would say, to me, the absolute worst part of Melf is the fact that right now it's over.
Well, that's not the worst part for me in Bruce Fire right now.
Well, there's still plenty of time tonight to get arrested, to do all sorts of things. Russ, can I tell the story about Five Guys?
Sure.
Okay. I'd say one of my favorite things about this whole trip was taking Russ Winter to Five Guys Burgers and Fries for the first time. We walked by it on the way to the after party, and I explained to him what the place was, and he's like, "Okay, that sounds good." And then a couple hours later, a few beers into that, I suggested, "Hey, Russ, Five Guys might still be open," and he goes, "Yeah." And then about 5 minutes later, this hand gripped my shoulder, and I heard someone scream, "Burgers!" And I look up, and it's Russ Winter.
I had beer munchies.
So I was like, "Okay, man." So we walked across the street, went to Five Guys, showed him the menu, explained what the whole deal was. I told him to get the small fry, because it was just for himself. I wasn't going to get one. But he did not heed my warning. He got the regular size fries. Which is, if you guys haven't been to Five Guys, they give
you a ton of fries.
They scoop fries into a cup, and then put the cup into a bag, and then throw 2 more scoops of fries on top of the cup in the bag, and then put your burger in there and they hand it to you.
Well, that's called the ghetto grocery bag.
But yes, sitting with Russ, watching him enjoy his drunk munchy food.
There's evidence on Google Plus.
Yeah. If you follow me, Cody Cooper, on Google Plus, I got a great photo of him giving me a death stare.
Yeah.
Chewing on that burger.
Well, you got one to go, so.
Yeah, that was there the next morning.
You had one, you ate there, and one.
Yeah. But that for me was one of the highlights. And then right before we left, Five Guys, he had his little tray of peanuts, and he looked over his shoulder, looked at me, shoved the peanuts in his pocket and said, one of my favorite quotes the whole festival.
Wait, you did say peanuts?
Peanuts,
right?
Yes,
nuts.
Peanuts, yes. Okay. They have free peanuts.
Man, the hole in the pocket.
Five guys, burger fries. He had a little tray about half left, shoved in his pocket, locked eyes at me, and said, let's go be drunk somewhere else. And we did. Because when Russ Winter says something like that, it's more of a directive, not a suggestion.
Yeah, it wasn't a suggestion. It wasn't.
No.
And I'll say one thing I completely forgot. Mad Dog is maybe one of the givingest guys I've seen.
Yeah.
He gave Jonathan a.
Oh yeah.
Vermont.
I think it's New Hampshire. Yeah, I was gonna say that was probably my highlight. Mad Dog, when he came in, I was like, hey Mad Dog, how you doing? Shook his hand and. You know, I gave him his t-shirt and stuff, and he's like, Jonathan, have you gotten your license for Linux yet? And I was like, no.
So he
digs into his backpack, and he pulls out, he's like, here. He hands me this license plate, and it says Linux, and then across the top it says live free or die. And I was like, nice. And if anyone's on Door-to-Door Geek with Google Plus or Cody, you've seen the picture. So,
yeah. But he's holding it up so proudly.
Oh, yeah.
This picture came up last night while we were recording a Dev Random. And don't listen to Dev Random. It's not a good story.
That's what I heard.
We're working on it. We're not satisfied that it's not good. We're working on it. But the one guy on there, Edgar, is so funny because he does not realize when someone's in on the joke, and he thought that somebody was being mean on the thing. And his reaction was so genuine and so hilarious.
That's awesome.
You see the picture, you'll
have to go find the picture, you'll see.
Yeah,
I told Claude too about the picture, and I've never heard him laugh like that before.
He
laughs so hard. He's like, oh man, that is so funny, I have to find that picture. So.
What'd you all think of the after party at J.J. Foley's?
Whew, pretty awesome.
Dude, genius beer window. That's all I gotta say, genius.
Yeah. For as small as the area was, how many people were in there, you knew they had their stuff down, because not only was it a good bar, they had good food, they had plenty of staff. I mean, plenty of staff to walk around and take care of every single table. They did it in an expedient manner, were really, really polite. One of the things that impressed me, which I've never seen in a bar, ever, I was walking back from Five Guys, and they weren't sure whether or not someone had paid for several plates of food, and the bartender literally told Jonathan, he goes, well, I believe you, and if we can't prove it, we're just going to go ahead and let it go.
Well, yeah, I also knew that guy. I've been there quite a few times.
Okay.
So he knew me.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he would have been like that with everyone, but...
Yeah, but...
No, but yeah, it was really cool guys, though.
Yeah, good. The bar was great. I contributed to completely tapping the beer fund as fast as I could when we got there, but then it was extended, which was nice, so we stayed.
It actually had to be extended a couple times.
Yeah, so. Well, that's fine. I was part of the problem.
If I can say something about the after party, I'll say the same thing I've said 3 years in a row. I know some guys have fun at these places. I don't think it's a good idea to have an after party at a loud public place. For me, I think an ideal place would be like a conference room somewhere that either had a bartender who was paid for the hour and knew we weren't going to buy a ton of beers, because some people don't. The number of people who would go to the after party and not drink is as surprising as the amount of beers you guys drank on your own.
Well, then, or left 2011.
Yeah, or but then the other option would be a room, just a room that allowed BYOB. And let anybody take care of it on its own. Because there's so many people that would have rather have just found a place that's quiet that they could talk,
right,
or to pull out a couple of board games and just chill.
Yep.
I think a place like that would be a cool after party. And if NELF continues to be a two-night event, you know, maybe one of the nights could be one of those, and then the other night could be the loud public bar. Right. People like doing that. You
No, I agree.
Well, I'm utterly with you, too. Loud is not good. When we were in Ohio, there were certain places we could not go into because Jonathan couldn't hear anything.
Yeah, I mean, I only went there because I know, the majority of people are going to be there.
And you couldn't see the beer bottles coming.
Exactly.
Boy, those Southeast lights.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's just a suggestion.
And the only reason I don't know how good it was, and I believe you guys that it was good, but they wouldn't let us in.
Right. They wouldn't let the bad wolf in.
They knew his reputation. Yeah. They would not let him out.
They said, we don't have enough alcohol here for him, so don't let him in.
Yeah, we weren't going to make a big deal. We made the best of it. We drove our 2 hours home, and he went to sleep, and I went to Dev Random. So
I will say another one of the highlights for me was the bartender outside Foley's. He said he was 6'8", and he was making jokes about people's IDs on the way in. And I handed him mine, and I said, if you make a joke about my chins, I'm not giving you any points for originality. And he just goes, all right, touche, hand me my ID, let me in. On our way back out later, he's referencing really cool films, like him and another guy just sitting there saying the title of a movie and then making a quote from it. And then one of the guys says Roadhouse, and they both chuckle, but they don't say anything. So I came up and I challenged him. I said, you know, I'm really upset that you mentioned Roadhouse, but you didn't give any quotes. You know, I'm very, very disappointed in you. Keep in mind, this guy's like way, way taller than me. I'm sitting here looking at him dead in the eyes.
He was a big dude. This is a guy that wouldn't let us in.
Yeah. and I said, I thought you'd be bigger. A quote from Roadhouse, and then he leans down, he looks at me right in the face, and he said, "Pain don't hurt." I said, "You got your points back, man. You're fine in my book. It's great."
I think another person that we should mention thank you to is this guy Paul.
Oh yeah,
Paul, yes.
You know, he really came through with a lot of things last minute too, because at the time we were short a projector, and he actually just walked away. A block over, he works at Harvard, and came back with one and got us set up, and we were really good to go. So,
yeah. You
know. Paul was pretty awesome. He just wandered around looking for ways to help.
I know, he always kept checking with me, Jonathan, what do you need me to do? Mm-hmm. And I felt bad, because I'd always have something for him to do. But he's like, he gladly did it.
He did.
You know, yeah.
I didn't realize for a while that that's what he was doing. I just thought the guy was lost, because he was just wandering around.
Right.
A couple times, I wanted to say, you know, can I help you find something? But then, right when I was about to, because I was right next to Jonathan, the guy would turn to Jonathan and say, hey, can I help you with anything? Do you need anything? So, yeah, the guy was just a really cool guy. He's one of those guys.
Yes.
Sometimes they exist.
Yep.
Yeah. He wants to be helpful, and he really was, and we really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Well, and I know in Southeast Linux Fest, they always, like, give the award for the person that climbs the farthest. And no one can compete with Peter 64. I know one guy who flew in from Israel to this fest.
Wow.
His name's Tom, really nice guy. He came out and he sat in on more than a couple talks, and he said...
Sat down the front, didn't he?
Yeah.
I think I recognize his accent here.
And he said, you know, I'm constantly amazed at how people just give away all this great information.
He was here for the Tor project, wasn't he?
Yeah. And I was like, dude, that's what a Linux Fest is really about. It's about come and learn. And the thing is, you're never really learning something. You're learning enough to get interested in stuff.
Right.
So then when you leave the fest, you have something to do. You know? And Pokey had the, what was the contraption?
Oh, the wood gasifier.
Gasifier. I want to hear that HPR episode because that one's coming out too.
Yeah, I got to do some experimentation on it so I can tell you something that the world doesn't already know about it. I think I have some new ideas about it.
Well,
and we'll, you know, get to it.
This is my classic reason why everyone should do an HPR. I know nothing about it, Toki.
But the reason that I had the wood gasifier was to make people say, "Hey, what is that?" And that was a good way to start a conversation because the answer is, it's my next HPR show. What's HPR? Or what's it about? And then I can talk to him a little further. But it was just to get conversation started, and it actually worked. I thought you know, people were going to go that crazy guy with the cans, but everybody actually worked.
Yeah, I gotta say he was very, very passionate about it.
Just excited about it. I won't say passionate, but I'm excited.
No, I'll go the extra mile and say passion, because he was with his inflection and his actions, he was saying, "Oh wait, there's more," but he didn't actually say, "Oh wait, there's more," because just when you thought you knew everything about it, And then you had the cover, and you go, by the way, here's this accessory, you get this, you know, almost as if he's trying to sell them, but he's not. He's like, oh, and you get these two cozies for free if you act now, that type of thing. But no, very, very cool little project, and the fact that you found the parts which were somehow destined to go together, and
yeah.
if you guys hear this before or after this episode, this will make a lot of sense. We were talking about this later. I was thinking, what if the people in these manufacturing factories like made these parts specifically so they could have this little miniature stove?
Yeah.
It made me think a lot like Batman Begins, where you had to order the parts from like different places so they could eventually construct the helmet. I think that these stoves are going to be used to like overtake a small nation somehow.
You think so?
I do.
On the internet stumbled upon this.
Right. Well, they're going to stumble onto the HBR episode, and you're going to be responsible
exactly.
for all
yeah.
of it. No. This is already out there on YouTube.
Oh, okay. All right.
I found this on YouTube. I didn't discover the two.
But you're the more refined version.
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to get people's heads.
Well, no, I'm just the first guy who's seen one that understands how it works.
Well,
everybody says, look, it's pure fucking magic.
Well, here's the two things I'll say about HBR about that. One, Pokey wouldn't take my advice. The episode should be called How to Survive Zombie Apocalypse, because if you put that in the title, it's going to get a lot more downloads. But two, HBR is one of the smartest things I've ever seen at a fest. They're a podcast with syndicated content. How many episodes now? 1,000?
1,205.
1,205.
I think is it 12?
Yeah, that's what saw when we left.
Look, you don't question that.
Yeah,
you got a point.
He said that with authority.
Mr. Wolf.
And they had a binder that you could flip through
yeah.
that had show numbers, descriptions, and QR codes.
Oh, yeah, that was Code Crunchers.
For instant access to that cast. That is fantastic, because if somebody's saying something, all you got to say is, yeah, they did HBR on that. Flip, pull out your phone. And I got to say, Bruce has one of the most fantastic Android flip phones I've ever seen. It's amazing. But that, to me, is just genius, to give people a seamless way to get right into the content.
Well, it's very typical of HBR, where if somebody on the mailing list or on the back channel, whatever, somebody says, I have an idea, I'd like to do this, what do you think? Well, the answer so far, I've never seen the answer not be, I think you're in charge of that now. Go for it, you know? And people just do good ideas. They don't bother bringing them up if they're not good ideas, you know? And so A, hell yeah, do your good idea. But B, I'm not in charge of this thing. Of course, do your idea. No, nobody at Hacker Public Radio has the right to tell you, no, you may not do your idea. Nobody has that right anyway. Nobody wants to say that anyway.
Right.
So when people come up with ideas in Hacker Public Radio, that's what it's there for, is for our community to have those ideas. And it's kind of self-regulating, because the people who enjoy the kind of shows that we have aren't the kind of people who are going to abuse that system.
Right.
Well, I'll say now, Jonathan, there's good news for you. You can publish that upgrading from Windows 7 to Windows 8.
Perfect. I'm trying to find a place to put that.
And speaking of that wood gasifier stove, by the way, guys, I do have it here. I haven't tested it yet. Do you think it would make the smoke alarms go off in this hotel room?
Let's go to your room and find out.
And the only reason I wouldn't take his idea with the zombie naming, I don't like the whole zombie thing. I don't give it any credence whatsoever.
It's just about
just
numbers. It's just
personal.
About
yeah, I don't sell out.
Well, you could say something to the effect of, when there's no more room in hell, you'll need to cook your food with a paint can.
It could come to that. I'm making it for hiking. I like it for backpacking, but whatever.
urban survival.
Yeah.
There you go.
So does anyone have any closing comments on NELF?
Looking forward to the next one.
Yeah.
2014.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. If you didn't make it this time, let me tell you, from what I understand, it's just gotten better every year. I was really impressed with it. It was my second fest, because I went to OLF last year. The interaction with the community was really great. Please pre-register.
Yes.
So that way the organizers have an idea of numbers of people coming in, because I can tell you we've had some kind of group talks as far as ideas on what to make, what to do next year to make it better. and bigger, and a lot of good stuff coming down the pike. So yeah. Definitely do what you can to make it next year.
Do you know the dates for next year?
I don't yet, but I would say roughly the same time. So some, you know, middle to late March or whatever. So, and as of right now, I would say it's at Harvard again next year. So until then, you can assume it'll be there.
What about you? You got any closing thoughts?
Be there next year.
Nice.
Very good.
All right, everyone. Thank you for joining us. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Economicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All BinRev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.